1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 17. How should we listen to these words? Why should we listen to them so carefully?
Because they rattle the words.
Very good. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So far the words of God. Okay, so Paul is talking about himself and Apollos. You can see that in verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? I planted, Apollos watered. He even asks, or he even says, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. So he says, I and Apollos are ministers, and I and Apollos plant and water. But we ourselves are nothing. God is everything, right? That's what he said in last week's passages in verse 7. God gives the increase. And then he says, for we are God's fellow workers. So Paul and Apollos are fellow workers, but to whom do they belong?
God.
So they're God's fellow workers. They're not the Corinthians' fellow workers. So is Paul trying to please the Corinthians? Or is Apollos trying to please the Corinthians?
No.
No, whom are they trying to please?
God.
They're trying to please God. Now, that's a temptation for us to try to please people, right? We see their approval very obviously, very easily, and right away. But when does our passage say that they would find out about God's approval for their work? What would show that their work is approved? Or when? Okay, what was fire? Emmett mouthed fire at me. How about when? When is this work going to be tested by fire? The day of judgment. That's right. Verse 13 calls it the day. And we know that it's the day of judgment because it talks about he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. There are many things that look very impressive to us now. But when the day of the Lord Jesus and his return comes, we'll find out just how lasting it is. Right? Lots of kingdoms of men have come and gone, and they're destroyed. And we can flatter ourselves and say, well, I'm doing church work, so that's more lasting than the kingdoms of men. But what if we do church work man's way instead of God's way? Yeah, you can build a pretty impressive house out of wood, but you don't want that house to be tested by fire, right? So where do we find out God's way? That's right. He's given us his word. That's such a blessing. You know, if you've ever had, well, I guess you all haven't had a boss, but you've had parents. And when mom and dad aren't very clear about what they expect out of you, then it'd be frustrating, can't it? Or, you know, mom and dad, and probably Dr. Hurd, I would guess, at some point in his life, has had a boss that wasn't wonderfully clear about what he wanted. It'd be very frustrating. Our God has not been that way with us. He's given us His Word that we may know how He wants us to build. But it's not just the workers that belong to God. He says, you are God's field. You are God's building. Who's He talking to when He says that? Who is Paul talking to? The Corinthians. All the Corinthians? Everyone who lives in Corinth? No, who? The Corinthian church, right? The church belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. In fact, God takes whatever is done to the church very personally. He returns to that idea, doesn't he, in verse 16. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, what does he say he's going to do to the one who defiles or destroys the temple of God? You will destroy him. So Paul is saying, you know, just because you guys think that I'm not doing the job that you want me to do, that's not, you know, that's not frightening to me. I'm much more concerned that I don't harm God's church. Now, we can, you know, if we're too involved in trying to get people to think well of us, and we build with wood and hay and straw, and yet we don't actually help the church of God and put ourselves in danger of hurting it, think about how God takes that personally. Now, how do we know how angry God is with the sins of believers? Not unbelievers, but the sins of believers. Where were the sins of believers punished?
The cross.
That's right. They're not going to be punished on the last day, are they? So how angry is God with the sins of believers? He poured out the fury of His wrath on His own Son. That's how serious a thing it is to harm the church for a believer even. And then it does give us some comfort. You know, there are people out there who they hate the Lord and they hate His church and they hate His people and they love to do them harm. And that seems to be on the rise, actually, in our own country, although Christians in other countries have just experienced that as a way of life for centuries. But it's comforting to know that God takes note, and He doesn't leave it go unpunished, and He takes it very seriously. I think, you know, if we were, for instance, some of the North Korean Christians or Christians in Muslim nations who have suffered so much attack, I think verses 16 and 17 would be very precious to us. That yes, we you know, we're continually under attack and not thought much of by the world, but the Lord who made us His, He thinks the world of us. And even though we may suffer for a long time, generations, yet the Lord will not let that go unpunished or unanswered. You know, the justice of God is a frightening thing for us because we're sinners. And it does comfort us very much to know that He is just toward the sin of others. But when it comes to our own sin, it drives us where? If we realize that we deserve hell, that makes us to remember and trust in in the Lord Jesus and what He did on the cross. Okay, so the workers in the church belong to God. The church belongs to God. You know what else belongs to God? The ability to do the work. Okay, so He says, verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, and you can make that a possessive, just like we read in verse 9, God's fellow workers, God's field, God's building. And I think it fits in the flow of the text to say, according to God's grace, which was given to me. So how was Paul able to faithfully lay the only foundation? What is the only foundation that the church can have? Jesus Christ. That's right. Not, you know, a vision statement or a mission or a strategic plan or these other things that people come up with to try and serve the Lord well, those can't be the foundation. The only foundation is Jesus. So how did Paul come about to faithfully lay this foundation, as he says in verse 10, as a wise master builder? By Paul's wisdom? By Paul's skill? That's what a master is. Somebody's very skillful. No. According to verse 10, according to what did he lay the foundation?
The grace of God.
The grace of God. God's grace. And if we're going to build with gold and silver, precious stones, then we have to receive the ability for our work from the same place. Right? Yes, John.
We belong to God.
We do belong to God. We are His field, His building, His temple. And we want to be His workers who belong to Him. But we can, and you know, this is a danger, especially when we study well and we understand from the Word, you know, the right way of doing things and what we ought to do. You know, we can very easily start thinking, well, since I studied and I know the right way to do it, the biblical way to do it, that's what's gonna bear fruit, is my doing it the right way. What's missing? Okay, God's grace, right, in Christ. You say, I know what to do, but I also know the only way I can do it is by God's grace. Therefore, we don't get proud. We say, thank you, Lord, for letting me understand your word. And now, please, Lord, carry me along to help me do according to what you say. So God's workers, God's field, God's building, God's temple, God's justice, God's way, God's grace. Who gets all of the glory in the spread of the gospel and the building of Christ's church? God alone, right? There's no room for any for us. And we shouldn't want it. We just want Him to be glorified. Let's pray that He would help us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this part of your word, and we confess that we very easily become proud, especially when you are the one who let us know and be able to understand your word, but then we get impressed with ourselves as if that came from us. And we pray that you would protect us from such foolishness and such pride, and that you would humble us and remind us that Christ alone is the foundation, and that even building the right way is something that we need you, your Spirit, working in us, that by grace we would be able to serve you well. We pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to give us lots of opportunities to serve your church, to serve your people, and that you'd help us to do so by means especially of your word, and that when the day comes, we would realize and get to see that you have done far more from our lives than we ever thought you had. Lord, you created us to be intelligent and creative, but we pray that you would keep those things in obedience to you and submitted to your word, so that we don't end up in a situation where we think we have done all this wonderful good and then come to the last day and find out that there really has not been much of eternal good that was done at all. Lord, you keep showing us in so many different places in your word that all the glory belongs to you. And so we pray that you would give us hearts that want just that, to see you glorified rather than ourselves or any man. And we pray then that you would make us glad to be sure that when all is said and done at the last, the reward that you have given is just a reward of your own generosity and grace, because all of the fruit came from you, and your strength and your goodness, so that you receive all the glory. Help us to love that. And we ask that your Spirit would keep using this part of your word in our lives and grow us in Christ. In his name we ask it. And your children here say, Amen.
He said, well, I really enjoyed